Told that we're holding in the middle of towards the bottom of Tesvav Amud Aleph, about Omar Balazar Rav Chanina, about the last thing you did, I guess, was how Esther had Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah.
Along with Shalav Ashtar, okay, yeah. Okay, so then we're holding for Omar Balazar about 15 lines from the bottom. The line begins with Ruach. Tesvav Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the Gemara had been quoting a number of things that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Actually, there was just the one so far that when it says Matur Basha Esther Malchus, it means that she had Ruach HaKodesh. So now the Gemara is going to quote a few other things that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chanina, lo'olam al tihi birkas hed yitkala be'inecha. The bracha, the simple person, should never be light in your eyes. The play on words I've heard so a lot of people said that a kala when at her wedding would give people brachas and tell people al tihi birkas kala hed yet beinecha. Anyway, the bracha of a kala with a cup should not be hed yet, should not be a simple thing beinecha. Yeah. Because we find that two great people of their generation were blessed by two simple people, goyim and Yitzhak, both, and these people's brachas were niskayim. Ve'elohein David v'Daniel. David debarchei Aravna. David was blessed by Aravna. The last parak of Shmuel Beis describes how there was a plague raging in David's times after he had mistakenly counted the Jewish people. David should tell him, go to the threshing floor of Aravna Hayavusi in Yerushalayim, build a mizbeach there, bring karbonis, and the plague will end. So David goes to Aravna to make a deal with him. Originally, Aravna is willing to offer it to him for free. David says, no, you don't do a mitzvah like that. You pay for it. Or he paid for it. He raised money from the whole Jewish people, the Gemara explains in Zvachim, and he brought his karbonis there. So before they sealed the deal, so the pasuk says, "Vayomer Aravna el Melech." Aravna said to the king, "Hashem alekecha yotzecha. May Hashem, your God, be willing to accept your carbon." And sure enough, it was. David should have accepted it, and the plague stopped. And Daniel de Baruchei Dayavish, and we find that Daniel was blessed by Dayavish. This is the story over there where Dayavish's advisors are all jealous. The other advisors are jealous of Daniel. They try to get him in trouble. They tell Dayavish for the next 30 days, make a law that for the next 30 days nobody's allowed to petition anybody except you, no God, no nothing. Daniel, of course, keeps davening. They throw him into the lion's den. As they're about to throw Dayavish, the whole thing is against Dayavish's will, but he's basically been dragooned into it by his people. So he says, just before Daniel is thrown in, Dariyavish tells him, Elakoch, the ant plach levitadira, your God, who you serve him constantly, who you shez vinach, may he save you. And sure enough, Daniel was saved. Yeah.
What happened?
What?
The lions died?
No. The lions were still alive, just they didn't touch him. I think the Zoyar brings an idea that when you have a tzaddik who has a tzelem alekim on him, then the lions or any other animals realize that and they're afraid of him. The upshot is that afterwards, when they brought Daniel out the next day and he's unharmed, the other ministers said, probably lions weren't hungry. The other said, okay, let's try it. You guys go in, and that's the end of that. Yeah. And on the contrary, Rabbi Elazar also says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, "Al tihi kila hed yet kala beinecha." The klala of a simple person should not be light in your eyes. Shari Avimelech kila sara, because we find Avimelech cursed sara. The whole story over there, where he claimed that he thought that sara was Avraham's sister, so he took her to his palace, etc. And what happens? He and all his people get terrible plagues over there. He has to return her, and he says to her, he says, "Hinei huloch ksusei nayim. Behold, this will be a covering of eyes for you." The simple meaning in the pasuk is, he's giving her, "Hinei nasati eloch kesef lochich. I'm giving your brother, so to speak, 1,000 pieces of silver. Let's compensate him for all this hassle. Hinei huloch ksusei nayim. Like, just cover over. Like, you shouldn't, so you don't hold it against me anymore." But he also meant it in the sense there should be a covering of eyes that you deserve as a punishment for the way you guys misled me, that you're going to end up with a covering of eyes, somebody blind. And this guy in Bizarra, and it was fulfilled in her descendants, in her son. By Hikizak and Yitzchak Batikhanena, but Yitzchak got old, he became blind. So we know Rashi mentions on the topic there three reasons why Yitzchak became blind, but the Medrash actually lists a dozen of them, and this is one of them.
How long did this bracha take?
many years. I mean, this was before Yitzchak was born. Sarah was already pregnant with Yitzchak at the time, but this is before he was born. And when did he become blind? He was 123 years old. Come and see that the way that Hashem does things is not the way that human beings do things. Midas basav adam, adam shreifes k'deira, how does a person do? First he sets out a pot, and then he puts water into it. You make sure you have a keli for the water first. But Hashem first puts the water, and then he sets out the pot. The Gemara is understanding the clouds are like the pot. They're like we learned in Tainus that according to one opinion, the clouds receive water from higher up. So like first the Eibishter prepares the water, and then he puts that cloud to receive it, and then sprinkle it onto the ground. Yeah. No, the clouds are the Kedera. Clouds are the Kedera, which is placed over
the water.
No, the clouds are the Kedera, according to this understanding. The you have the Eibishter sets out the water. The Eibishter decides that it's going to rain, and then he makes the clouds be where they need to be in order to receive the rain and then sprinkle it onto the ground. Hello, everyone. That's all the one Aleph near the bottom. Yeah. What? Tesvavim at Aleph near the bottom. L'kayim, Mashanema, this fulfills what it says in the pasuk. With Koil Tichar Hamoin Mayim Bashamayim, at the sound of the Eibishter puts a great amount of water in the heaven. See that the Eibishter is supposed to be putting the water into the pot, but like first there's the water, later on the pot is there for it. Anybody who says something in the name of the one who said it may be Geula L'Olam. We know this from Perkei Avos, but actually the Perek Vav of Perkei Avos where this appears is not actually part of the Mishnah, it's a Braisa. So therefore, here the Gemara is quoting it in the name of Rebbe Elazar, who is an Amora, because, the Amoraim are not always expected to know all the Braises. So therefore, you can have that an Amora comes up with something, we have all the time in the Gemara, that an Amora will say something, Tanya, Nami Hachi, we learn also similarly in Braises. So here it's the same kind of thing. So anybody who says something in the name of the one who said it, maybe Gula Loilam, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vatayma Esther Lamelech, Vashem Mordechai, Esther told over to the king in the name of Mordechai about Bigson and Teresh's plot, and that brought the Gula. So, yeah. Because eventually this way Mordechai's name was written down, and this led to the whole thing that we're going to have at the bottom of Tetzavah, at the bottom of Tetzavah on Beis. The Gemara is going through here a bunch of memories of Rabbi Elazar Amar Chanina, because we had the first one of them that was at the end of yesterday talked about how Esther had Ruach HaKodesh when she went to see Achashverosh. So V'amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Chanina. Tzadik Ovad L'Dorei Ovad. When a tzadik is lost, when a tzadik passes away, he's lost to his generation, but he himself still exists. Like we learned like when in Tainus, Yaakov Avinu Lemis. Mashal Ovad, Mashal Adam Sh'Avdalei Magolis. It's like a person who lost a pearl. Kol Mokom Shehi Magolis Shma. Wherever it is, it's still the same pearl. Like Avdei El Baila, it's just the owner who lost it. So you can't find it anymore, but the pearl is still a pearl. So the same thing, the tzadik is still a tzadik. He still has a key.
What does it mean, Ovad?
Ovad, when he's lost. In other words, it's a Lashon HaPasuk, actually. Tzadik Ovad Ve'inish Samalei. The tzadik is lost, and nobody is paying attention. Like, it means that we need to do tshuva. But here we're saying, he's lost to his generation. His generation, Taka, should be taking a lesson from it and realizing we've got to shape up. We don't have the tzadik to protect us anymore.
No, so that we get to learn from and grow from him.
Yes. Right.
Saying that he's still there is a man, what he has done is there, but it's not there in a way that can really affect people as well.
Well, I wouldn't say that can't affect people. I mean, we learn in Siddus, the Alter Rebbe explains in Igeret Chazayin, that Adarabba, Tzadikah Despater, you can gain even more from him after his Astalkus than before, because now his Av of Yira are not constrained in his body. Now they're available everywhere because of the Neshama is everywhere. Hello. Still, it's all about Lodoro in the sense, you don't see him. But I mean, continuing with the metaphor, the person still owns the margolis. You just have to work on finding. You have to work on finding it. But it's still there. Yeah. Going back to the Megillah now. Haman gathers together his family, his chachamim, etc. He tells them what's going on. He tells them, "Behold, einenu shoveli." And all this, he says, is not, I have kvod osheri, v'roi vanav, etc. And he says, "Behold, einenu shoveli." All this is not worthwhile to me. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Chanina, v'shah shirava Haman's Mordechai, yeshu b'shar ha-melech. When Haman sees Mordechai sitting in the king's gate, Amar, he says, "Kol ze einenu shoveli." All this, all the honor and wealth and power and everything that I have is not worthwhile as long as I see Mordechai sitting over there.
In other words, killing the Jewish people, that's what causes all this.
No, he's saying, as long as I see Mordechai, that's he goes to his people and he says, you know, okay, we have the Xerah, you know, set to take place in 11 months, but still, it irks me every time I see Mordechai sitting over there.
And
we're going to explain why, Taka. Why does he say, call the end in Israel? Kidder Rav Chisda. This is like what Rav Chisda says. The Amr Rav Chisda, Zebba Bepruz Bully. The one comes with the claim based on wealth. Rashi explains that this is like the word pruzbul. The word pruzbul, actually, the Gemara explains in Gittin, is short for pruzbuli or pruzbuti. Pruz meaning the claim of bully, the wealthy ones. The Greek word for nobleman is bule, something like that. There's some word in English that descends from it, but I can't remember what it is. And buti means poor people. So Zebba b'pruz buli. So Mordechai is coming with a claim based on wealth. The Zebba b'pruz buti. And Haman, all he has is a claim of poverty. This is the famous story that the Gemara is hinting to over here. The famous story. The Medrash gives more details. Where Menoy Salevi gives more details that where Mordechai was forced to sell himself as a slave to Haman.
Right,
the other way. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. That Haman was forced to sell. What?
Have you been drinking?
Just this. That Haman was forced to sell himself as a slave to Mordechai many years earlier. They'd been generals in a war. Haman's people ran out of food, etc. Yeah. So therefore, every time he sees Mordechai sitting over there, and then Mephoshim say, actually, Mordechai would show him what it says on his shoe, the document over there, "You sold yourself to me." So he's upset. Haman a pop of a quarter like Abdul Demi Davin Batami. In fact, they nicknamed Haman the slave who sells himself for loaves of bread, because that's what he did.
How was he redeemed?
He didn't. I mean, Mordechai never officially redeemed him, but, you know, later on, time passed, and time passed, everybody forgot about it, and Haman became rich and powerful and became prime minister and all, but that's, you know, every time Haman would pass by, Mordechai would, you know, point to his shoe, and And when it says v'cholza einenu shoveli, what's the ze? Usually, whenever it says ze, it means you're pointing to something. Like we have at the end of Tainus, hinei elokeinu ze. That's the tzaddikim are going to be able to point to the Eibishter. What's the ze? Well, that he's speaking to his servant, and not to his family. I mean, remember, melamet shekognaza shalo yiserosh shekakukin al libo. It means that all of the riches, all of the wealth of that Russia were inscribed on his heart. In other words, he had parshat embroidered on his clothes. He had a picture representing all of his wealth. So he sees Mordechai sitting in the king's gate. I'm going to call Zeh and Inner Shoveli. All this that I have right here on over my heart is not worthwhile. I mean, that's the Zeh.
What do you mean the picture of these fortunes?
Yeah, I don't know. A picture representing the different types of wealth he has. I don't know. Yeah.
He needed that look so badly that he had to carry it all around.
Yeah. You know, one possibility is, you know, we know that also Haman also had his getchka that he wore on his heart also. That's one reason why Mordechai didn't want to bow down to him. So, you know, maybe he worshipped his wealth, you know, so he has both. You know, he has a picture over there which represents his wealth, and he also worships it. They say a vort on this that in the Zemer Mo's Tur that people say on Hanukkah, there's lines of, you know, the next last stands over there is about Hanukkah. The previous ones are about the different other Goliaths and how Hashem saved them from them. One of them, there's a stands over there about the Nes of Purim. And there's an expression in there is Roy von of Bekinyon of Allah Eitz Halitza. His many children and his possessions you hanged on the tree. His children, okay, we know from the Megillah, the 10 sons of Haman. Where do we ever find his possessions were hanged on the tree? That's why. Because he wore a picture of them on his clothing. So when he was hanged, so were they. In the future, in the Olam Haba, the Eibishter is going to be a crown on the head of every tzaddik. It says, on that day, Hashem Tzvakos will be a beautiful crown. The pasuk continues. Besides the next words in the pasuk are the Latsviras Tifara. So the question is, Maya Latsviras Tifara, what does this mean? Latsviras Tifara means a beautiful, in simple meaning, means a beautiful crown. Svirapatipara also means like a Svi, no, Svi means beautiful, like desirable. Ataras means a crown. Svi is beautiful, desirable. Well, Svirapatipara, and to Svira is another word for a crown, like a tiara or a diadem or whatever. Tifara of beauty. So what is it? What does this double expression mean? It means La'osin Sivyon. It means that this will be for the people who do what the Eibishter wants. That Svi is Meloshin Sivyon, that they, what the Eibishter wants. Or Matzak and Tifarta, for those who hope for the Eibishter's glory, for the people who look forward to Yimos HaMashiach. You know, we know all over the place in Siddus that Keter and that Keter is Ratzon. So therefore, you know, this fits very well with our Gemara over here. A person does the Ratzon of the Eibishter, therefore he's Zeichel to a crown. Yachol Lakol, you would think then that this applies maybe to everybody. Tamad Lomel L'Shar Amoi. But the pasuk continues that it's only for the remnant of his people, which means an expression like we had in Rosh Hashanah, "Lemisha meisim atzma kishurayim." It means only for the people who make themselves like leftovers. In other words, who are humble. A person of Bar Gaiver is not going to be zarech for this. Then the pasuk continues. The next pasuk also in Yeshaya, "Ul ruach mishpat," for a spirit of judgment. So the whole pasuk goes like this: "Ul ruach mishpat," for a spirit of judgment. For those who sit in judgment, for ligura and for power, for strength, meshivim elchama shara, the ones who return battle, who are able to battle back at the gate. The Gemara is going to douse in phrase by phrase over here that this means different people who have different mitzvahs. The ruach mishpat zad donat yisra. This refers to somebody who judges his yetzahara, or on the side over here it says that in Sanhedrin the gear says haroida yisra, that he controls the yetzahara. The pasuk continues, the one who sits in judgment. Zahadon din emes lamitzvah. This refers to a dayan who judges a case truthfully. And Tosfos points out why the expression emes lamitzvah, the double expression, is because sometimes you have a case where the dayan realizes or should realize that something fishy is going on over here. The case seems very open and shut, but you gotta check over here. You know, the edim seems you gotta interrogate these edim a little more carefully and make sure that they're not just making up a story. V'l'gvura, continues the pasuk, for might, for power. Zahamis gaber al yitzur, this refers to somebody who overcomes the yitzahara. Before we were talking about somebody who controls the yitzahara, we were talking about somebody who actually overcomes it. Meshivim mochama, when it says the ones who fight back in war, means shenoisin v'noisin v'mocham tashal Torah, means the ones who give and take in the war of Torah, who are involved in the war of Torah, meaning in the war of learning Torah. When you're learning Torah with somebody, one person acts, the other person slugs you up, you know, becomes like a whole, you're joining battle, right? So that's what we're talking about. Although, as the Gemara points out, in Kedushin, it has to be Esvahe B'Sukha. It has to be that, you know, during the actual debate itself, it may look like they're enemies, like, you know, each one is trying to tear down the other one's point, but at the end, it has to be B'Sukha at the end, in the Lashon Seif, there has to be a love between them, Esvahe, in the Lashon Abba. Then when the pasuk finishes off, Shara, in the gate, meaning Elu, Tamer Chachamim, Shemashkimen, Umarivin, Vibatik Nesias, Vibat Medrashas, refers to Tamer Chachamim, who wake up early and stay late in the shul, and in the Vibat Medrash, which in those times, usually those kinds of things took place at the city. Actually, Rashi says differently. Rashi says that they're like the gatekeepers. They're the first ones in the Beis Medrash and the last ones out. So like they're the ones responsible for locking and unlocking the doors. So now, and the pasuk is saying that all these people deserve a reward from the Eibishter. But Amra Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Benishle Manishanu Eilu Me'elu. So what's the difference between these and those? In other words, you're saying that you know the tzaddikim are going to get the sky, the rishayim not. Why is that? Or not so much tzaddikim versus rishayim, but the Jews versus the goyim. The Midas Adin is arguing, you know, the Jews are not necessarily so great either. The Jewish people were involved in learning Torah. The Goyim were not. Which, you know, the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah has a very famous discussion that how it's going to be lost in love when the Eibishter brings all the nations to judgment. Where each nation, Persians and the Romans first, the Persians, then each of the other nations, you know, the Eibishter is going to ask them, so what do you accomplish really worthwhile in the world? And we built bathhouses, we built roads, we built bridges, this, you know, we advanced civilization. And we all did this in order that the Jewish people should be able to learn Torah. And the Eibishter tells them, you know, you didn't do it for the Jewish people, you did it for yourself. So, like, this seems to sort of fit with this Gemara over here, that the Midas Adin is arguing, after all, I mean, the Goyim accomplished important things in the world, and the Jewish people are able to use, you know, we're able to use, you know, our phones and the internet and, you know, and air conditioners and whatnot in order to be able to learn Torah. And look, the Goyim accomplished all that. The Midas should tell them, but first, the Goyim didn't do it for the sake of that people should be able to be Oisik
HaTorah. Number two, whatever they created to Eden, I learned a survey, they took it away by harassing us.
Yeah, that's a different thing, but not, but then you could argue some goyim, yeah, and not necessarily the same goyim.
Also, Jews mean a lot of these things too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, So the Midas Adin says, yeah, but Gam Eilu Vayayin Shagu, even these, meaning even all of the tzaddikim, all the good people you're talking about, as the pasuk continues over there in Yeshaya, they also have gone wrong with wine of Ashecha Tohu, and they've gone off the path with Shecha, with strong drink. In other words, they're also acting like a goyim in certain ways, and therefore it should be Poku Plilia. They should be going out to Plilia. What does this mean? Ain Poku El Gehenim. The word Poku means that they should be put in Gehenim. Shenem Avalosia L'chazos L'fuka. We had on Daf Yedalad the discussion between Abigail and David, where she says this should not be L'fuka for you, that you should not stumble in it, that you're going to be involved in Eishes Ish. So we see that Puka means Gehenim. Then Plilia El Adayonim. And the word Plilia means judges. Shenem Avanotan L'plilim, as it says, he'll have to pay according to what the judges decide. So that the Midas Adin is arguing to the Eibishter that maybe they do deserve to. The Gemara doesn't continue with the discussion, but obviously the Eibishter says that now, you know. Yeah. Next, with Esther, Vatamad Bachasabe Tamalachapnimis, the pasuk says that she stood in the inner chamber, in the inner courtyard of the king's palace. Amar Rav Levi, Kivin Sheidiel Avesa Flomim. So we said before on Amar Aleph, we said that she had Shalavashto Ruach HaKodesh. She was clothed with Ruach HaKodesh when she's going to see Achashverosh. But now, Kivin Sheidiel Avesa Flomim, when she got to the inner to the inner part of the palace where they have their idol, Nistalka Hemen Ashchina, the Shchina left her. Amar, so she said, Keli Keli Lama Azatani. This is a pasuk from famous pasuk. So that whole, we've had a couple of times already, that whole capital is hinting at the whole story with Esther.
Always wondering how could
David hurt? So he meant it for his own situation also, but different times. There's for example one time when he tells Shaul, you know, you're forcing me to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's like join with me l'shein le'alika. It's like, you know, person who's outside of Eretz Yisrael when they could be in it. It's like a person, so to speak, who doesn't have a god because they don't have the same close relationship with Eivishter. So it may have meant that, whatever it is. But we say that it was meant for Ruach HaKodesh. The whole capital is talking about Esther. We learned in Yuma why Esther is compared to Ayala Sashachar. Marashot points out there's several other things. The pasuk mentions over there that the Lashon HaPasuk over there that the person is saying on themselves that I don't have a mother or a father. That refers to Esther. We learned that her father and mother died before she was born. A number of other psukim over there that the Medrash says a couple of others. One of them is that when she first came, and the Medrash describes how when she first came, you know, the pasuk says that right away Achashverosh stuck out a scepter, as well as the Gemara is going to discuss soon. The Medrash expands on that, but not necessarily did he write, you know, he sees her coming, ha'itafen, you know, like she said, you know, the law is anybody who comes uninvited is subject to the death penalty. So he's not doing anything, and everybody, all the courtiers, all the servants in the palace start whispering to each other, you know what, she's dead meat. I get her jewels, I get her gown, or whatever. The public uses such an expression, they divide up my clothes among them. That's what they're talking about.
Because
Achashverosh is fine. Because Achashverosh looks at her angrily. So like they're all thinking, you know what, she's a goner in that case, then, you know, I call dibs on her jewels, like, you know, et cetera, yeah.
And then by miracle,
you know, he changed his mind and stuck out a scepter, yeah. So the whole capital refers, yeah. Anyway. So she said, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Azatani, Hashem, why have you abandoned me? Shema Atadon al Shogig Gemezid? Are you judging somebody who's B'Shogig as if they were doing it on purpose? Bal Onis Kerotan? Are you judging somebody who's going B'Onis as if they're doing it willingly? I'm going B'Onis now. Now, it's true, she had said, Hashar Avati Avat, because to a certain extent it's considered B'Rotan, because she's taking the initiative in going to Achashverosh. Therefore, she says, I'll be also to stay married to you, Mordechai, now. But after all, she's going to Achashverosh right now. The whole thing is under duress. She's not going because she one day decided, because she decided, you know what, I'd like to go see him.
How did she know
she felt it. I don't know what it's like to have Ruach HaKodesh, but I imagine that if you do, then you know when you don't have it.
That's like, I think, when you're starting to age and you get a little bit more, you start to feel things a little bit different enough.
Okay. Oi, she says, Shema Aksh Krosit Kelev. Maybe the problem is because I call the Hashverish dog. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in that capital, Hatsila Mecherav Nafshi, save my soul from the sword, Miyad Kelev Yechidasi, save my Yechida, my unique Neshama, Yechida is the highest level of the Neshama, from the Kelev, from the dog. And so, what's the problem if she's calling him a dog? One thing you could say very, very basic is, you know, it's not derech eretz to call a king that. You find, you know, the Eved tells Moshe, you know, you're going to Para, you're telling him all these warnings about Makas and all, still have derech eretz for him. Okay, but still. So there are other explanations as well. So one of the explanations I think Marsha says is if she's calling him a Kelev, to be saved from a Kelev is not such a big thing. So effectively, it's like she's making the nest a smaller thing. You're going to save me from a Kelev. It's like, you know, big deal. Like, you know, it's not a major nest, as opposed to if you compare him to a lion and then you save from him, that's a major thing. Rabbi Yaakov Emden quotes from his father, the Chacham Tzvi, an interesting thing that the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia, in the Dinim of Shomrim, that if you have a shepherd who's watching sheep and they get attacked by dogs, and the dog ends up grabbing one of the sheep and ripping it up, that's not considered an oinus. Because dogs, a shepherd should be easily able to fight them all. Okay, but, you know, in Esmanian, dogs can be fought off. Shankin, if it's a lion, you don't expect the guy to stand up against the lion. You can consider that an oinus. So now she realizes to herself, wait a minute, I'm thinking of my, I'm trying to claim that I'm coming here by oinus. Then wait a minute, why am I calling him a Kelev? That I just contradicted myself. I better call him an Aryeh in order that I have a good reason to claim that it really is oinus. So she went, she continued in her tefillah and called him a lion. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hoshiyanim fi Aryeh, next pasuk in Kapitel Chafez, save me from the mouth of the lion. Pasuk continues, Vayichir oisa melchach Esther Amalka, when the king saw Queen Esther, it says he stuck out his scepter. But first, Omer Rabbi Yechonon, Gimu malachai Asharis nizamnu labayit Hashar. There were three malachai Asharis who came to help her at that moment. Echachi bias Savara, one lifted up her neck, because like this, she's standing there very dejected. He had to lift her head up, so Achshverosh sees her beauty. Echachi Moshe Chutcho Chesed Aleh, another one who brings a thread of chesed over her, as we said the other day, that she was greenish, but really, but they made her look, made her have a certain chain in everybody's eyes. Yeah. Echachi Moshe Chesed Shavit, and the third one to stretch out the scepter. The point is, she would have had to come close in order to, and she was too terror-stricken to come that close. So therefore, the scepter had to be stretched out. V'kama, how much was it stretched? Amar Rabbi Yomi, shtei amas haya. The scepter usually was 2 amas long. V'amidah shtei mesrei. The malach stretched out to 12 amas. V'amilal sheish esrei. Others say 16. V'amilal esrim v'aba. And others say 24 amas. V'mafisatana al shishim. A b'raita says that it was extended to 60 amas long. And the Braita continues, V'cheinat ha-moitza ba'amosa shal Bas-Pare. Thus you find also with the arm of Bas-Pare, when she was taking Moshe's basket out of the river, Matish l'chach ha-mosa, she stretched out her hand, and the Gemara explains in Sota, Rashi quotes it on the Pasuk over there, that her hand stretched out. So it stretched out 60 amas. V'cheinat ha-moitza b'shinu Rishoyim. And so you also find with the teeth of the Rishoyim. Which Rishoyim? Og melech ha-boshan. The pasuk says you broke the teeth of the rishayim. V'amir shlokash atiku shibarta. Not you broke elashri babta, but you made them grow long. The Gemara in Brachos tells the story that Oig, when he's fighting against the Jewish people, figures, you know what, I'm a giant. I can move mountains. He lifts up a mountain 3x3 parasa, which is the size of Machne Yisrael. He figures he'll throw it on them. And what happens? Eivishta sent ants that hollowed out the inside of the mountain, so it fell on top of his head. And then when he tried to pull it off, Eivishta made his teeth grow long like tusks, so they're stuck into the mountain, so he can't lift it off. And then Moshe was able to knock him off with an axe and finish him off. Yeah. The Gemara says it. So this is the Shinui Shem Shibarta. This is Shibavta. This is the case we had with the teeth of the Rishayim were made to grow long. So what do all these numbers mean? So Marsha says, if you look at the pasuk that describes over there, if you count up, one way of looking at it is you count until the first half of the pasuk, until Nasa Chen Be'enov, you have 12 words. Actually, I don't know. I counted and I found only 11, so I don't know. If you count if you count until it mentions the Shaivit, you have 16 words. If you count the whole pasuk, you have 24 words. 60, I think he says, is the number of letters in the first half of the pasuk. So therefore, you have all these possible figures. Maharal is a Maharal explains it differently. Maharal explains that basically this, the scepter stretching out to towards her represents how much the Eibishter made Ahasuerus desire her. Even though she's been fasting for 3 days, she looks dejected, she looks pale, etc. That still Ahasuerus had this tremendous. How much of his personality like did that encompass? Rabbi Bar Ofron, Amar Meshum Rabbi Lazar, Shom Rabbi. Rabbi Bar Ofron says in the name of Rabbi Lazar, who heard it from his teacher, and his teacher heard it from his teacher, that the scepter was stretched out Mosayim, 200 amos.
Well, this didn't change his mind. She didn't
count
it. That was done by
him. Of course it was done, but we're talking about the fact that he Bechlau looked up at her and that's what we're saying. He was willing to extend the scepter maybe, but it wouldn't have reached all, or maybe not even. Maybe, you know, the fact that when he saw it growing then come and touch it, you know.
And also
Usually, you have to approach. The two amos were saying the scepter was only 2 amos long, so usually you have to approach within 2 amos of the thing and touch it.
They let the person come to 2 amos of the
king. So that's the thing. Maybe the idea was normally the king had to actually tell you to come. Here he hadn't told her yet, so therefore it has to stretch out, otherwise, yeah.
Well, these are three different miracles, probably.
That's why we're saying you need three malachim, yeah. Next, the pasuk continues. What are you asking for? Ad chatzia malchus b'seach, up to half the kingdom, and it'll be done. Chatzia malchus v'lo kol malchus. He says half the kingdom, meaning not the whole kingdom. I'm not going to hand over the kingdom to you. And also v'lo davish choytzit l'malchus. Also, I'm not willing to give you something. I'm not willing to give you a certain thing that divides the kingdom. What would that be? The building of the Beis Mikdash. How does that divide the kingdom? Rashi says because the Beis Mikdash, we learned in Yuma, is in the middle of the world. So therefore, you can speak of it as like half the empire is on one side of it and half is on the other side. It's in the middle. No, so that's the thing. He's saying I'm not going to give you something that is in the middle of my kingdom, meaning the Beis Mikdash. Marsha says a little differently remember Ahasuerus was still under the influence of the Masira that they had done years before, that if you allow the Jews to rebuild the Beis Mikdash, it'll break up your empire. So literally, Choytzit l'Malchus, you know, something that'll break up the empire. Now, why Bechlau? What makes him think? I mean, he doesn't know she's Jewish yet. What Bechlau makes him think that she's coming to ask for the Binyan Beis Mikdash? Preposterous. You could say, I don't know what nation you're from, but I know you were raised by Mordechai. I know you're very friendly with him. So maybe he sent you to, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that. The Gemara doesn't necessarily actually mean that he said in so many words, my new Vinny Beis Mikdash. You know, he said Achatzia Malchus. She understood what he meant by that. Yeah. So she tells him, Yavei Amalek L'Haman Ala Mishta, let the king and Haman come to the party. Turn it up on us. Ma Rasa Esther Shazimna Haman. What was Esther's idea? What was she thinking that she invited Haman? She has to get Ahasuerus alone in order to tell him what's going on, to tell him to be Mavakal Xeder. Sure, what does she need Haman there for? Rabbi Loza, so the 10 different reasons the Gemara is going to give. Rabbi Loza, I'm a Pachim Tamnalo. Rabbi Loza says that she wanted to set a snare for him. Shenema, Yehi Shulchanim Lefneim Mufach, as the Pasuk says, let their table be like a snare for them, a trap for them. Like she wants to bring Haman there, and you know something is likely to happen during the party that he'll get in trouble, which if eventually happens in the second party. Rabbi Yeshua, I remember Beis Abiyah Lamda. Rabbi Yeshua says she learned from her father's house, meaning Rashi says that she heard the little kid learning this in Cheder. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Imroiv sernacha achilehu lachem b'goymer." Pasuk says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread." And the pasuk continues, "If he's thirsty, give him water." Pigachalim atachoyis al roshah, because you're going to be pouring fiery coals on his head. It was like the same thing, you know. You're giving him food, like, you know, and then you get him. Yeah. Rav Meir, I'm a kedushal yitul eitz reviyim. Rav Meir says that she did that in order that he doesn't take advice and go and rebel against the king. Meaning, in other words, if he's not there, he could be meanwhile planning a rebellion. So like this, make sure that you know where he is at all times. That way, he doesn't have a chance to do that. During the time that they're,
he could be
plotting a rebellion. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing a lot better, and he won't be doing the mood to be, need to...
That's another idea also, right? If she's inviting him, he feels all this honor and everything, he doesn't feel the need to rebel, right? Mashenkin, if he's not invited, yeah.
Pass him the mouth, please. I think that could be one of the most.
We'll get to it soon. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Kadesh Layakir, Boshi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that she did that in order that they don't realize that she's Jewish. The Medrash expands on that a little bit. You know, like we said the other day, you know, she didn't want the people to think, oh, you know what, we have a sister in the palace, we're safe, we don't have to be worrying so much about the Zayda. No, you know, like this, they see she's inviting Haman, the arch enemy. You know, well, then we certainly can't rely on her. We can only rely on Medrash at this point. So why not? She had a cater. Yeah, exactly. No, but you know. She had her Shevan Aris or whatever, you know, she had her maid servants with her. The truth is, the first party actually was taking place during, there are actually different Mepharshim that discuss the actual timing of events. We know from the Pasuk that Haman made his Zera and sent out his letters on Yudimul Nissen, and we know that Haman was hanged on Tezayin Nissen, although actually it actually says it was the evening following Tezayin Nissen. So what is it? Were the 3 days fasting, were they Yudimul, Yudalad, and Tetzvav, or is it Yudalad, Tetzvav, and Tezayin? Either way of looking at it, when she came on the third day for the first party, she's still fasting. So they have party, but she's not participating in the eating.
Also, she would only have been if she was
able. Also true. Yeah. Rav Nechemiah, I'm a Kadosh. Oh, actually, this is the same thing. She didn't want that Achashverosh and Haman realize she's Jewish, because then they'll get her also. Rav Nechemiah says it so that the Jewish people don't say, oh, we have a sister in the palace, and then they'll distract themselves from asking for rachamim for Neivishtim. They'll come to depend on her rather than on Neivishtim. Rav Yossi says that she wanted that he should be available at all times. This way, maybe she can not similar to the thing before about making a snare for him. But the idea is, in a similar way, make sure, you know, in all the time when he's around, you know, maybe I can find some way to trip him up. Rav Shimon ben Matthew, Ula Yagish Amokam Biyasul Ananes. Maybe the Eibishter will realize, will see what's going on and make for us a nest. What does that mean? Rashi says two explanations. One is the Eibishter is going to see. Look, I'm inviting the Sony Yisrael to the party. How much more so that the Eibishter should have Rachmanis on the Jewish people? You know, if I'm so to speak having Rachmanis on this Russia, you know, then the Eibishter can bring the Jewish people close to him as well. Second explanation, Rashi says, is that it means let the Eibishter realize. You know, look how bad the Marsha explains based on Rashi that look how bad the situation is that I'm in a position where I have to chanfer, where I have to flatter this Russia and make him think how important it is. And make myself a zilzul in my own cupboard and help us. You know, we're at the end of our rope, basically. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kochheimer, she said to herself, as we lay upon him, let me show a nice face to him, let me pretend that I like him, who were he? This way both he and she will be killed. What does that mean? Rashi says, the king will start suspecting that maybe I'm having an affair with him or something. He'll end up killing him. He may end up killing me also, okay, but what's the good of this way? If Haman is killed, we learned in Tainis, the story over there where Rabbi Gamliel was slated to be executed, and a Roman nobleman came and warned him, and then threw himself off the roof. But the Romans had this, apparently the Gemara assumes that the Persians had this kind of thing as well, where when you have a gzera has been made, and then one of the noblemen or senators or whatever it is dies, then they consider it a bad simon, and they mabatel the gzera. So here also, she figured, let Haman get killed, killed, let the king think that he's having an affair with me or whatever, he'll get killed. Okay, if I have to get killed also, because, you know, Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, basically, but at least that way the Xeder will be taken off. Rabban Gamliel says you have to realize he was a king who changed his mind very easily. So Esther figured, you know what? So what's going to happen? I get Achashverosh alone together at a party, let's say. I tell him what's going on. I tell him that he should do something about Haman. Later on, by the time he goes and sees Haman, I'll have forgotten all about it and change his mind. Better, you know, let me strike while the iron is hot, basically. Even after all these reasons, we still need the reason that the Mudoi, Rabbi Elazar HaMudoi, give. Pass him a Gemara. Yeah, I may be able to convince him to kill, that's what he's saying. I may be able to convince him in private to kill Haman, but by the time he actually gets around to it, meanwhile, he'll change his mind, yeah. So Gamliel says we still need the reason of the Mudoi, of Rabbi Elazar HaMudoi. Because all these reasons so far explain, fine, all these reasons explain why she needed Haman over there. That doesn't explain why she needed only Haman there. Why doesn't she invite? She's inviting Achashverosh, she's inviting Haman, fine, invite one or two of the other ministers also. Why if it's only Haman? Because, D'tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaMudoi, Kin'atu Gamelech, Kin'atu Resarim. This way she made the king jealous of him, and she made the other noblemen jealous of him. Like this, the king is thinking, you know, you're putting Haman on an equal level as me, and therefore he's already a little, you know, ready to get angry at him easily, and all the other ministers are now jealous of him also, so none of them are going to stand up for him when the time comes. Yeah. More reasons. Rabba Amar Lifnei Shever Goyin. Rabba says, like the pasuk says, before the famous expression, pride goeth before a fall. So like you puff him up with pride, like look, you know, like he says himself in the Megillah, you know, look, out of all the ministers, Esther only invited me to eat together with her and the king, and then he has his fall. Abaya v'Rabba Dami Tavayu, another reason, like the pasuk says, v'chumam ashrit es mishtehem v'gemer. In their heat, I will make their party. What does this mean? Rashi says, this is going back a few years to the story with Belshazzar's party that we learned about the other day. What happened? There was a war going on between the Persians and the Babylonians. The Persians were besieging the city of Babel. They'd fought a battle that day, a skirmish, whatever. The Babylonians had beaten all the Persians. So now Belshazzar was all happy, and in the first flush of it, you know, we're all tired, you know. Now let's sit down for a nice party, and then, you know, and then Dariavash and company come back and conquer the city and kill them. So the same thing, Esther figures, you know what, you know, we're going to have a party over there. Within the party itself is the seeds of their downfall. So therefore, let's make a party. And in the course of the party, he'll have the same thing happen to him as has happened to Belshazzar. Actually, Mepharshim say that she's thinking of not necessarily just of, she's thinking not only of Haman necessarily, she's kind of thinking of Achashverosh in that regard also, that Achashverosh may also have end up having his party ruined the same way as Belshazzar did.
She didn't know exactly.
Well, she didn't know which one it's going to be. She didn't know how it's going to work out exactly, yeah, but yeah.
She
thought
that this was the best.
Yeah. So the Gemara tells, so one time Rabba Bar Avuha met Elio, Amalei, he asked him, Keman Chazi Esther Ba'abda Hochi. New bottom line. We have 10 explanations so far. Which one was Esther thinking of when she invited Haman? Amalei, Elio, and he tells him, all of you, am I right? Kekulu Tanoi, Kekulu Amaroi. She had all of these ideas in mind that we're mentioning, all the ideas that she had, even all the ideas Amaroi. Yeah. They say the Vilna Gaon brings an 11th reason. We learned on Yudalad, on Tisvav, actually Tisvav rather, that when Esther heard the news about Tischau Chalam Alkamoy, she was very statistic, very shaking up. And the Gemara said one explanation is that she became a Nidda. Now the Gemara says we learned in Sachim that if a nidda walks between two men, if it's dangerous to either walk between two women who are niddas, or for a woman who's a nidda to walk between two men, either the Gemara says at the beginning of a period of nidda, then she'll cause one of them will end up being killed, and towards the end of it she'll cause that there'll be a fight between them, there'll be a quarrel between them. So she figured, you know what? Look, you know, I'm in that state now. I may as well. Let me invite Achashverosh and Haman. I'll sit between them. And one way or the other, either one of them are going to kill, or one of them there'll be a quarrel or something. Yeah.
So what
do you think? Gemara says that. I mean, to what extent do these things from that Gemara apply nowadays? I don't know, but there is that Indian. There is an idea anyway. It's that sneeze to not walk between two women, or to not have a woman walk between two men. That's a matter of news, but that's a whole another issue. What? Is it really dangerous? It's not a matter, it's not theistic, let's put it that way. Okay. As far as the danger, I don't know if the danger applies nowadays. Yeah. Okay. Plus it continues. By Sapalahem Haman, Svoid Asher Vereif Bonham. Haman tells over to his family, the cupboard of his wealth and his many children. Now, how many children did he have? The Gemara is not assuming that he only had the 10 that it said in the Pasuk, because Marsha points out, what's so great about 10 sons? I mean, we have those people mentioned, a couple of the Shoftim, and Sefer Shoftim, for example, it says about them, they have 30 sons, 40, whatever. So he has 10, big deal. Not such a Rav Bono. Has to be, he had more. Amar Rav, Lamed, he had 30 children, 30 sons. Asora Mesu, 10 of them died of natural causes. Va'asara Niklu, 10 of them were hanged, it says in Megillah. Va'asara Machazun al-Psachim, and another 10 went pegging around by the doors after Haman was hanged and all his wealth went to Mordechai and Esther, then they were left to beg.
And from those
From one of those came the B'nai Bonav Shal Haman that learned Torah and Megillah, yeah. The Gemara mentions, he's talked about it before, that B'nai Bonav Shal Haman learned the Torah of B'nai Brak, that some of Haman's descendants became Gerim and taught Torah and B'nai Brak. So the pastors, they came from one of these 10 who were Mechazin al Psachim, yeah. The Rabbanan Amri, Oysen Shem Mechazin al Psachim, Shivin Havya. The Rabbanan say, it's true, there were some of them who ended up begging around by the doors, but it wasn't 10, there were 70. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk, 70.
70.
Yeah, as the Pasuk says, in the Shira of Chana, Sveim Balechem Niskoru, the ones who were satisfied are hiring themselves out for a piece of bread. I'll take you Sveim El Shivin. Don't read the word sveim. They're satisfied, because if they're satisfied, why are they hiring themselves out for bread? They don't have bread. It means el shivim, but rather 70. So the 70 are now begging for bread.
How many
besides for the name? Besides the Zeresh, the concubines and whatnot. Yeah.
The whole line
of yeah. Probably yeah. Rami Ba'aba Amakul Masayim. Rami Ba'aba says altogether he had 208 sons. Shenema v'loiv bano. And Veroiv, Gematria, it's a Veroiv Banav, the word Veroiv is Gematria 208, Vav Reish Beis. Question is, what do you mean? Veroiv, Gematria, Masayin, Vav Beis, Rav. The Veroiv, Vav Reish, Vav Beis, comes out to 214. Amar Rachmi, Veram. Yes, but it says it Choser in the Megillah without the second Vav, so therefore Vav Reish Beis equals 208.
What's
the
right?
Zeresh, the Megillah doesn't say. The Megillah itself doesn't say. I believe they're on the Foshim. Who say, or maybe Yosifun says, I don't remember, or whatever, that she also ended up running away and then begging, or whatever, yeah.
Also,
I don't know, yeah. Next, the Laila Ahun. On that night, the king's sleep was disturbed. Which king? Amar Panchum, Nabudashnas Malchus Olam. The sleep of the king of Hakadosh Baruch Hu was disturbed. Kaviyachol. Rashi says, in other words, it's like a mashal. The pasuk says, Vayikas Kiyoshen Havaya. That there's a time when the Eibishter runs the world. In the Bar Mitzvah moment, we say there's a time when the Eibishter runs the world. Kaviyachol, like when a person is asleep. But, their chayus is nostalgic Laila, and all you have left is erosion. So the times when the Eibishter runs the world in a way like that, that's called, so to speak, that the Eibishter is sleeping. Then there's Vayikat, Kiyosh and Abayah, that the Eibishter, so to speak, wakes up, like he's more directly involved with running. He doesn't sleep, Doctor, but sometimes he acts, so to speak, as though he's asleep. And we had before, in Haman's accusation to the king, Yeshna Yamecha, he said, They're asleep from the mitzvah. Now that they woke up and they're doing shuva, so to speak, the Eibishter reciprocated and woke up also.
So he makes
as if he's asleep. Yes. Amri nodadu olyonim nodadu tachtonim. It means that on high their sleep was disturbed, and below Achashverosh is asleep. So Rashi has two explanations. One from his Rebbe is that when nodadu olyonim means the malachim up in Shemayim were kept on bugging Achashverosh all that night. Achashverosh is trying to go to sleep. Malachim keep on bugging him and yelling in his ear. You ingrate. You owe somebody who did you a favor. Pay him back for it. Until finally, Achashverosh says, "You know what? Let's find out exactly what's going on. Bring the record." Then Rashi says,
"That's not.
I guess not. That's the night they needed it. Yeah." V'yeshalim, Rav Rashi says another explanation means that the malachim above were woken up because even the malachim up above are crying out and pleading with the Eibush to save the Jewish people.
Yeah. Why was the Eibush so close to hearing the even Esther the
They did hear, but I mean before that. We did have before, the Nenu Mitzudasa Shalai Sadasha, Shtachvul of Telem. There was still all that going on, Actually, there's an interesting thing going back a little bit. You know, we said that the Ruach HaKodesh left Esther when she came to the palace. Somebody says, I think it might be Rabbi Yenison Ibishit, I don't remember, that what it was is Esther herself wasn't true. We had in the Gemara the other day, we had a discussion between Rashbi and his Talmidim, what was the Aveira that caused all this, that caused this whole problem, either that Ishtachvul of Tselem, or that they ate from, or that they had a Hanav Machashverish Suda. So Esther herself is not sure. When she comes to the palace and she sees the idols there and then the Shekhinah left her, she realized, oh, that must be the issue. It's because of the idols. It's because of Tselem Shalom Ruchanesa. Okay, so she figures, I got to undo that. She invites Haman to the party, like we said, all the different reasons why she felt she had to do that. The problem is, Haman always wears around his getchka on his clothing. So she figures like this. She I'm in the palace, the Shekhinah has left me because of the tzlamim. Okay, well, I need to get a chashverish someplace where I can talk to him where there's no tzlamim around. What's the only place in the palace where that is? My part of the palace, my apartment. Fine, let me invite a chashverish there. She feels she has to invite Haman for the reasons we talked about. Haman comes wearing a stella. What am I going to do now? Now I'm back to square one. So, I'll have to make another party. That's why by the first party, she tells Achashverosh, come back tomorrow night. What happened the next day is the whole story with Haman leading Mordechai around on the horse. Haman didn't want, when he realized what's going on, that he's going to afterwards, the Gemara is going to say, bathe Mordechai, shave him, and lead him around on the horse, and so on and so forth. He didn't want his idols to have to see his humiliation, so he left that outfit at home. He's wearing a different outfit. Therefore, when he's covered with garbage and everything, he goes home, he complains to Zeresh and everybody. She calls him quickly by Afilu, come right back. She didn't want to give him a chance to change. And then now he comes without his cell up, and therefore she has her chance. I think Rabbi Edison Ibershitz, but I don't remember. According to that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we said by Afilu, they covered him, yeah. Yeah. It means that literally Achashverosh's own sleep was disturbed. Not at all, Yonim Nadratoni means, forget about Achashverosh, it means the Malachim up in Shemayim and the Jewish people down on earth are not sleeping because they're all davening for Nachum and for Nevishtim. Rabba is saying, no, Nadratoni Shnasa Malach means exactly what it sounds like. Achashverosh's sleep is disturbed. Why? Because he started thinking, Omar, my de Kamon, what's going on over here? Does I'm into Esther the Haman? That Esther invited Haman to the party. It's unusual. Are they maybe plotting together, the two of them, maybe they're in cahoots against me, Ahu Gavra, is the most usual way of a person who wants to say, call on himself, to kill me. Then he thinks to himself, well, bihachi. If that's so, like have a gavra derochim li, isn't there anybody around the palace who likes me, gavra moidali, who would tell me if Esther and Haman are plotting against me? Adama, well then he thinks further, maybe Taka one time somebody did me a favor, and I never paid him back, therefore people are holding back from telling me, they figure, somebody once did a favor for Achashverosh before, he never got paid back, why should we bother? We're not going to get paid back either. So therefore immediately he said that they should bring the Sefer HaZichronis, the record book, and the passage continues, Vayiyu Nikroyim, and they were read. Now what do you mean, Vayiyu Nikroyim? Vayikru Oitha, it should say. Malamachi Nikroyim Me'alei, and it means that it was read by itself. As I was going to say in a second, the record keeper over there, Shimshai, was another one of Haman's sons. He wouldn't have wanted to read the story of Mordechai, but the Malach started reading it too, started reading itself. Then the pasuk continues, "Vayimotzik kosuv," that was found written. I don't mean ksav nevarilei. Kosuv implies like being written right now. It's lashon hover. It should say ksav. It was written. It was written 9 years ago. It means mamamet Shimshai moichik the Gabriel kosuv. It means that Shimshai is trying to erase it as and Gabriel is rewriting it. Shimshai, Rashi quotes over here from Pasuk in Ezra that he was the king's scribe, he was the king's secretary all the way back from the time of Koresh, from years earlier. He was a son of Israel, he was one of Haman's sons. And so when he sees that it's written over there that Mordechai did good, so he's trying to erase it, and Gabriel is rewriting it.
When you erase it, I mean.
He was trying to do it in a way that Hashemayot doesn't realize. Actually, they say one of them, Mepharshim, I can't remember who it is, says a cute vote on it. The original plot is the pasuk calls a big son Vaseresh. He would say that they found about big son Nav Vaseresh. Why the extra aleph? I don't remember who says this. What happened was when they wrote it down. So okay, you know, Shimshai, the official recorder, you know, he has no choice; he has to write it down. But he wrote it. He wanted to write it down. He didn't want to write it down in a way that'll give covered to that'll give credit to Mordechai. So he wrote down Big Son Oy Teresh, meaning Big Son or Teresh. So now Adarabba doesn't mean that. It means Adarabba. It means Mordechai caused an innocent person to be killed. It was either Big Son or Teresh. Mordechai himself wasn't sure which one it is, and now whichever one wasn't involved got killed for nothing. What happens when they come to read it? Now, years later, they took the Malach took the Aleph and the Vav and split them apart. The Aleph goes on to Big Son, the Vav goes on to Teresh, so now it says Big Son of a Teresh, that it was both of them were guilty, and Mordechai was right in mastering on both of them. Yeah, perhaps it's in Persian, but... it could be. Amr Abbas. Yeah. Amar Abasi, Dora Shibshila Ish Kvar Tamarta, you can see from this something, if you see then that a writing that's down here below on earth, that's for the schutz of the Jewish people, never gets erased. You see over here, even Shibshai was trying to erase it, and the Malach is rewriting it, Ksav Shalamayla, like Koshkin, how much more so, a writing up above in Shemayim, that's for the schutz of the Jewish people, doesn't get erased.
And
then,
so it would never have been erased.
Or it actually
is
still standing.
Yeah. Aver machab mitzvah and aver machab torah. It doesn't say that.
But whatever's written
doesn't get erased. Continues the pasuk. Mordechai asks his servants, "Has anything been done for Mordechai?" And they answer, "Lo nasa imay dover," and nothing has been done with him. They didn't say that because they loved Mordechai. Other mepnesha soinin as Haman because they hated Haman. How do we see that from these words of the pasuk? One explanation is because they say le'naseim a dover, and nothing has been done. If they wanted to say covered for him, they should le'naseim a covered ugdula or whatever. Le'naseim a dover, like, you know, okay, something ought to be done for him. We don't think that a lot should be done, but at least something. The other explanation is because when you like somebody, you say their name. When you don't, you leave out their name. Like they can't bring themselves to say his name, to say Mordechai's name. So we can see they didn't particularly like Mordechai, but they hated Haman more. No, the king says, "Ma nafse yikar gulul Mordechai alzeh." They answered, "La nafse imay dover." Continues the pasuk that Haman had come to ask Achashverosh for permission to hang Mordechai on the tree. Asher heichin loy, that he prepared for him. I mean, for him. Of course, he prepared it for him. It's not a loy heichin. It means he prepared it for himself.
Wait, he was able to ask that.
Actually, before I should say, the point is, when it comes to the Gzeira against the Jewish people, it was Taka. The original Gzeira was Taka meant against the Jewish people. The Eibishter was thinking of wiping it out, Chasa Shalom, for the different things we talked about. After they did Shuvah and everything, the Eibishter changed it, and then they were saved. Here, Lachatchila, Mordechai was never slated to be hanged in the first place. Lachatchila, when Haman built that gallows, it was always meant for Haman. That's the part of Shehechen Lai. Next, the king tells him, "Vasa came to Mordechai." Haman comes up with this idea, make him ride on the horse, etc. So Achashverosh tells him, "Go do this to Mordechai." "Vasa came to Mordechai." I'm like, "Manu Mordechai? Who's Mordechai?" Like, he makes himself like he doesn't know. I'm like, "Hi Yehudi, the Jew." I'm like, "Tuva Mordechai, it could be a Jew." There's lots of Mordechais among the Jews. I'm like, "Hi Yosef v'Shar HaMelech, the Jewish Mordechai who sits by the king's gate." So Haman tells him, "What do you need that? It'll be enough if you give him one. If you give him one village that he'll rule over it. Inami b'chad nara. You give him one river that he can collect tolls on." Amalei, so Achashverosh tells him, "You know what? That's a good idea. Honami hadle. Give him that also. Al tapel daba b'kol asher dibarta. Don't make anything go away from anything that you said." You're going to have to make him bring on, you're going to have to make him ride on the horse and all that. But also, you said a village, a river? Because it's a hate, let him have that too. Yeah, you're on a roll, basically, yeah. So, what happens? He went and found Mordechai that there were Rabbanim sitting in front of him. Rashi says Rabbanim means his Talmidim. And actually the Medrash says that these were the 22,000 Jewish children that he had brought from the Chadarim. The Gemara is calling him here Rabbanim, according to that then, yeah. So he finds him sitting and teaching. And he's showing them the halachas of Kmitzah. Of taking the handful of flour out of a carbon mincha. Rashi says why it was appropriate. Today was Tes Zayin, this day when all this was happening was Tes Zayin Nissen. That's the day when they brought the carbon omer in the Bet Mikdash. So Mordechai is teaching them the dinim of the carbon omer, and part of that is that he took a kaimus out of it. The Medrash actually says you can see the importance of the carbon omer from this. You can see the carbon omer is what defeated Haman's plans. Because we're going to see that the Haman himself realized that, you know what, the source of your learning this is destroying my plans. Haman sent out his letters on Yud Gimel Nissen. That's what I'm saying before. There's different Mephoshim that discuss whether these 3 days of fasting began the next day, so Yud Dalet Tesvav and Tesdayin Nissen, or Yud Gimel Yud Dalet Tesvav. Either way, that's why we said that Ayava Mordechai. That's why we said that Mordechai had to violate, according to one opinion, that he had to violate Yom Tov. The Medrash expands on that. But Mordechai said to Esther, "What do you mean we should have a 3-day fast? What happens to Pesach?" She tells him, "Look, you know, if the Jewish people are wiped out, Rachman al-Flan, there is no Pesach anymore. You know, we got to do what we got to do." Mordechai sees that Haman is coming to meet him, and he sees he's holding his horse, he's leading along his horse in his hand. Mirtas, he got afraid. He says, "This Rasha must be coming to kill me. Zilum mikame, go away from here. That you don't get burnt by his coals. In other words, that you don't get caught up in the crossfire. You don't end up being collateral damage, basically." So at that moment, Mordechai wrapped himself up in his talus, and he stood up to daven. Also, Haman v'yosef lechamayu. The Haman came and sat down in front of all of them. You should imagine what they were all thinking. And he waited abdesalik Mordechai letzloisen until Mordechai finished his tefillah. Then when yeah, you also if you have to talk to somebody on the phone. Yeah. He waited until Mordechai finished davening. And then he asked him, what are you all learning? When the Beis Mikdash was standing, a person wanted to donate a carbon mincha, he would give a handful of flour, that was the part that went on the Mizbeach, and he would have it a kapara for himself. He says to them, you know what? Asi moli kumti kimcha didhu, your handful of flour has come. The dochi asara alfi kikri kaspa didi, and has pushed away my 10,000 kikar of silver. Haman offered Mordechai, had offered Achashverosh 10,000 kikar of silver to kill the Jewish people. Achashverosh told him, don't bother, etc. So Haman is saying, now your little handful of flour has overcome my 10,000 kikar. Tosfos, by the way, over here discusses how did Haman come up with the calculation 10,000 kikar of silver anyway? Why is that figure? Yes. So Tosfos says, because it's like this. We know that every Jew gave a master shekel. There were 600,000 Jews. So 600,000 half shekels, 300,000 shekel. Now, so Tosfos is saying that it comes to that. The question is, it doesn't, because 300,000 shekel comes out to 100 kikar, like it says in Parshas Kodeh, because Kodeh ate a mass kikar. So why 10,000 is 100 times as much? So there's many, many different explanations that Mephoshim give. Among them are that Haman figured a person has to give Master Shekel every year. From when they're 20, that's when they become Chayiv and Master Shekel, until the average person lives 70 years. So the average person gives Master Shekel for 50 years. So if you multiply the Master Shekel times 50, then you wind up with, times 50, and then you divide it into kikkers, and into regular kikker, not a kikker shakodesh, then you come up with a 10,000 regular kikker. What a Jew would have given through his whole life. Another explanation also that they say that a different way of looking at it is he wasn't doing it connected to Master Shekel, he was doing it connected, it talks about in Parshas B'chukosai, that a person can promise to give somebody's erech, to the Beis Hamikdash. If I say I promise to give your erech to the Beis Hamikdash, we look up in the Pesukim over there. You're a man between 20 and 60, so it's 50 shekel. If it's a woman, 30 shekel, etc. All the different figures that give. So the maximum value over there is 50 shekel. So he figured 50 shekel for each of 600,000 adult Jews comes out to 10,000. That's a 10,000 kicker. Anyway. Mordechai, by this time, has finished davening. He says, Rasha, Eved shekana nechasim. You know, when an Eved buys property, Eved lemir nechasim lemi. Who does the Eved belong to? The master. Who does the nechasim belong to? Also the master. Like, what makes you think, Bechlala, that you had 10,000 kicker to give the king lechatchila? It all belongs to me. Amalei, so Haman tells him, you know what, forget about that, but listen, kum levoish hanimani, come get up and put on these clothes, v'ruchayv ha'isusya, and come ride on this horse, d'boi loch malka, the king wants that should be done for you. Amalei lo yachilna, ad yulna lebei b'nei, so Mordechai tells him, I can't until I go into the bathhouse, and I haven't taken a bath in 3 days, I've been sitting in sackcloth and all, it's not derechev to go on the king's horse in a state like that. The eshkol lamazia, and also I need to have my hair cut. The lab erach ara lishtemush of money to alcohol. It's not derecheret to use the king's horse and royal robes and whatever, unbathed and without a haircut.
But you'd say,
yeah. Now wait. So Shadra Esther Basatinu Lakula Bebanon Bunny. Now Esther had sent messengers and hidden. Rashi says Asatinu means she hid them. Lakula Bebani, all the people who run the bathhouses. Lakula Umni and all the bloodletters who used to also give haircuts in those days. Barbara used to also she hid them. Actually, other Mepharshim say that Asatinu means she ordered them to close their stores. So therefore, there's no bathhouses open and there's no barbershops open. Ayla ihu lebebani, so Haman had to take Mordechai himself into the bathhouse, ba'aschei and bathe him. Ba'ozol v'aisi zuzu mibeise, and he had to go and get a pair of scissors from his house, ba'koshoku b'mazi, and then cut his hair. Ba'hadi b'koshoku lai, as he's cutting Mordechai's hair, ingid v'itnach, he sighed, krecht. Amalei, so Mordechai tells him, am I komitachas? What are you moaning about? Amalei says, Gavra da v'choshev le malkum kulu rab ravanoi, me, who was more important than all the other kings and all the other king's servants, all the other king's noblemen, hashta lo shavya baloni v'saper, now I become a bathhouse attendant and a barber.
Well, it is. Haircut by
Haman. There are Mepharshim who talk about that. I think part of the answer is, since Haman himself had told him the king wants you, then Haman knows perfectly well that if he tries to harm Mordechai, then he himself is a dead man. Amalei, so... That's what we're talking about, as a barber is one of them. But yeah, it's different when an Adam Choshev Shiny, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah over there, an important person who the guy knows is going to get in trouble, if he harms you, it's different. Mordechai is an Adam Choshev, yeah.
And where is that
one? It's in Avodah Zarah, second pair. Amalei, Mordechai tells him, Rasha, v'lav saper shokvar kautzum ha'isa. What do you think this is a new thing? You think you've never ever done this before? You used to be the barber in kvar kautzum. And in fact, we learn in Hebrew, Haman saper shokvar kautzum ha'ya esim v'shtayim shana. He was a barber in kvar kautzum for 22 years. So yeah, Mordechai tells him, don't think it's like this is beneath your dignity. You were doing this for many years. We better go catch my other hand.